Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The country of Uganda recently passed a law requiring the death penalty on anyone who's gay. Well, not really, but that's the way the media has portrayed the law. The law is actually a death penalty against aggravated homosexuality, where a homosexual sodomizes a minor, or where a homosexual knowingly infects another person with AIDS. Just like Uganda has the death penalty against heterosexual rape. Uganda does not execute people for being gay, as it's called. But there can be a prison sentence or a fine for homosexual practices. That Uganda would pass this law as Western nations are celebrating Gay Pride Month is, of course, a great offense to LGBTQ supporters. President Biden issued a statement about the law, quote, "The enactment of Uganda's Anti-Homosexual Act is a tragic violation of universal human rights, one that is not worthy of the Ugandan people, and one that jeopardizes the prospects of critical economic growth for the entire country. I join with people around the world, including many in Uganda, in calling for an immediate repeal. No one should have to live in constant fear for their lives or be subject to violence and discrimination. It's wrong." So we can't have rapists in fear of their lives. Well, on this week's program, this is what I want to discuss. Is this law really wrong? Is it a violation of human rights? Is it violence and discrimination? Or is the objection to this law just personal opinion, based on nothing more than man is God? That this is nothing more than the immorality of the last days? The United States used to have the exact same laws that Uganda has today. Were we wrong? Were our forefathers unenlightened homophobic bigots? Or did they understand something that our current ungodly generation doesn't understand? Something about sin and the nature of God, the state enforcing God's moral law. This issue, this new law in Uganda, is just a good opportunity to look into what God himself has to say about the role of the state. And I wouldn't even have considered doing a program about this law until I read Senator Ted Cruz's tweet. Quote from Cruz, "This law is horrific and wrong. Any law criminalizing homosexuality or imposing the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality is grotesque and an abomination. All civilized nations should join together in condemning this human right abuse." So for Senator Ted Cruz, any law criminalizing homosexuality is grotesque and wrong. Now, from what I understand, Ted Cruz is a genuine Christian. His father was a pastor. He attended a Christian school. And so he should have an above average knowledge of the Bible, especially when it comes to areas of civil government. So it surprises me that he makes such a statement. Because biblically, the death penalty for rape is the law of God in Deuteronomy 22. It's not as if God made a mistake when he gave his law. Now, there are some evangelicals who claim that Old Testament law was only given to Israel or is abrogated in the establishment of the new covenant. But nations today still believe and practice most of the standards in the moral law of God given in Deuteronomy. Laws against murder and rape and theft and incest and polygamy. But is homosexuality now an exception? Are we now just to pick and choose which moral laws of God we want to enforce? And if we are, where's that permission found in the Bible or in the New Covenant? Where is Ted Cruz getting his theology? What has he been reading? You know, his view is more akin to leftist libertarian ideology that the state is to be a secular institution. Or that as long as homosexuals are conservatives, God will bless our nation. Let me suggest that Ted Cruz was talking off of the top of his head. being influenced more by the culture than Scripture. Because if one thoughtfully looked into the Bible, one could never make the definitive statement that this law in Uganda against aggravated homosexuality is a grotesque abomination. What is a grotesque abomination is not the law, but the immoral practice that the law addresses. So, what a crazy upside-down thing for Ted Cruz to say. I mean, if he were going to call anything grotesque or an abomination, it should be aggravated homosexuality itself. Being a Christian, we might assume Ted Cruz might tweet, "I think this law might be too harsh, but it's addressing a crime that's a grotesque abomination." But if he said that, the media would fake outrage and offense. How dare this U.S. senator make, how dare he speak against aggravated homosexuality, especially during LGBTQ Pride Month? Yeah, this is a dog whistle. But this is what our nation has come to. To speak against homosexual rape is deemed being bigoted. And few Americans have the backbone to stand up against this immorality. So the lesson here is that, like many Christians, Ted Cruz has been subtly influenced by LGBTQ ideology. It's the LGBTQ movement that's calling any moral law against them grotesque and an abomination, because they have flipped the moral law of God on its head, calling good evil and evil good. So this was Ted Cruz's mistake. But then Russell Moore wrote an article in Christianity Today also condemning the law in Uganda, entitled, "Don't Pretend the Ugandan Homosexuality Law is Christian." Now, Russell Moore was the head of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission from 2013 to 2021. And he has been criticized often for leaning left, being more of a leftist evangelical, always coming out with opinions that conform to the present age. Al Mohler with the SBC is way more conservative than Russell Moore. But in this article, Russell Moore tries to give a theological explanation for why this law in Uganda is wrong. And he parrots all of those typical evangelical hasty conclusions, such as, hey, we're not under the Old Testament law. If we have any laws against homosexuality, we're going to have to outlaw the eating of pork and shellfish. And we can't impose biblical law on the unsaved. I was really surprised that a man with his background would make these silly arguments. His arguments have been soundly refuted by all of the classic theologians. You know, just because the Old Testament has laws against pork doesn't mean all the moral law of God in the Old Testament is set aside. There's a distinction between the dietary laws in the Old Testament and the moral law. The dietary laws of God have been set aside. We see that in Acts chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 9. But the moral law of God has not changed. Homosexuality is still a sin, and it's still a sin addressed in the New Testament. The state does have a responsibility before God to enforce laws against immorality, especially homosexual rape. Now, in my radio program, I promised that in this YouTube edition of my program, I would list and give a brief refutation of all of Moore's arguments. So here it goes. Number one, Moore begins by pointing out some people on the internet suggested that Ted Cruz was rejecting the word of God in his tweet that Uganda or any nation should not criminalize gay people. Then Moore goes on to attempt to prove that the Bible teaches that the state should not criminalize homosexual practices. He writes that agreeing with the Ugandan law is bearing a false witness about what the Christian gospel is all about. Well, I believe Russell Moore is kind of confused here because at issue is not the gospel of Christ, but the God-given role of the state. Second, Moore, in describing this law in Uganda, complains that the Ugandan law would outlaw homosexuality, as if that's immoral for the state to do. And he also says that this new law would mandate conversion therapy type rehabilitation for gay people who are arrested, as if that is immoral for the state to do. But no one would object to the state working with criminals to get them off of drugs or alcohol or gambling addictions or domestic abuse counseling. To object to homosexual counseling for those who practice sodomy, the degraded passions described in Romans chapter 1, one must begin with an a priori assumption that homosexuality is not wrong, that it's not a crime against humanity. And on what basis can Russell Moore make this claim? Russell Moore has yet to show that biblically the Ugandan law isn't Christian, and he never shows this throughout his entire article. Moore even states, quote, "But most chilling of all, the law would impose the death penalty on categories deemed to be aggravated homosexuality." If he is writing this article, he has had to have done some research into the definition of aggravated homosexuality. It's referring to homosexual rape. So say what you will, but the death penalty for rape is biblical. Deuteronomy 22:25. And such a law would be good for a nation, and it would save many innocent women from rape and murder. Most rapists are repeat offenders. Maybe God knows what he's doing in giving these commands to Israel. The concept behind the death penalty is that some crimes are so heinous that there is no remedy for justice on earth. You can't bring the victim back to life. You can't restore virginity. So the only justice is found in sending the individual to stand before the judgment seat of God. Anyway, number three, Moore says that the primary problem is that Uganda is taking the Bible out of context. Then Moore goes on to write about how much he believes in the inspiration of Scripture, John 10:35, that the Scriptures can't be wrong. But then Moore quotes Deuteronomy 20:13 concerning the death penalty for homosexuality. If there is a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. So Leviticus 20:13 is saying what it says. So how could the Ugandan people be taking this out of context? Well, Moore goes on to explain that Leviticus 20 and the death penalty was for a very specific context in redemptive history. It was to separate Israel from the Gentiles to prepare them to enter the land of Israel. To cite such passages from Old Covenant civil law as a mandate for a civil state outside that covenant is a misrepresentation, unquote, Russell Moore. Really? In the Oracles Against the Nations, the Old Testament prophets condemned the Gentile nations surrounding Israel for permitting sexual immorality. And the Canaanite cities, which were outside the covenant with Israel, were also held accountable to the moral law of God prohibiting homosexuality. Leviticus 18:26. "But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all of these abominations, and the land has become polluted or defiled." these Canaanite nations were not exempt from the moral law of God just because they didn't have a specific covenant with God like Israel had. Would it have been an abomination for the Canaanite nations to have laws against homosexuality? Well, Russell Moore seems to think so. And he thinks America shouldn't have any laws against homosexuality because that would be a violation of human rights. Again, Moore never shows any New Testament proof that the sexual moral laws of God given to Israel are unlawful for any Gentile nation to enforce. Then Moore even has the chutzpah to write, to apply the laws of Leviticus today does not fit with any historic apostolic teaching of Christianity. Well, I wonder what world he's living in. I guess he's never read the church fathers or the writings of the reformers or the Puritans. They were all in favor of using the law of God given to Israel as a pattern. Even Blackstone commentaries, the basis for English law, applied the laws of Leviticus to the Gentile world. Number five, then Moore goes on to explain that Old Testament dietary laws were done away with, so therefore the old covenant is no longer enforced. He even uses that old, if we outlaw homosexuality, we also have to outlaw shellfish and pork argument. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, every Bible student understands that there is a distinction between the temporary dietary laws given to the Jews and the eternal moral laws of God. Acts chapter 10, that sets aside dietary laws, is not telling Gentile nations that they should no longer have any laws against sexual immorality or against rape. Then Moore brings up Acts chapter 15, where he says that the apostles settled this question, that the only thing the Christians were to ask of Gentiles was to lay upon them no greater burdens than these, the essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from these things, you will do well. Farewell. Well, that's not an argument for the role of the state in regard to enforcing the sexual moral laws of God. The apostles were referring there to Old Testament laws in regard to Christian living. If one wants to make that verse apply to the role of the state, notice that the verse does say that the laws against fornication, which is the general word for sexual immorality, do carry over into the New Testament. Number six, Moore refers to Jesus stopping the stoning of the woman caught in adultery. Well, there are all sorts of possible reasons for Jesus' actions in that case, but it's really an extrapolation to conclude from that event that Jesus was abrogating the death penalty and the role of the state in this matter in regard to punishment for sexual immorality and violence, especially in case of rape. Number seven, then Moore references the immoral man mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5, and Moore says Paul didn't call for any criminal penalty by the state. Well, that's an argument from silence, which is always a poor argument. Paul and Jesus never listed the specifics of what the state should or shouldn't do in many cases, because that's dealt with in the Mosaic Law. But if Moore does want to bring up that text, 1 Corinthians 5, it actually supports the idea that the state needs to regulate sexual morality, because Paul writes that even the Gentiles don't practice this crime of incest. And at that time, Rome had laws against incest and adultery. Number eight, Moore closes with a quote from a Presbyterian theologian, Edmund Clowney, that the church has made a mistake in putting heretics to death, that we're not in the period of the judges, so we're not to do what Samson did. But none of that applies to the issue at hand. That is the biblical role of the state in how to punish rapists. And the two final points that Moore makes are unbelievable. quote, misinterpreting this is the equivalent, now notice he writes the equivalent, of concluding that one should sacrifice a lamb on the church communion table during a sermon on Leviticus. I don't see the connection. That's an irrelevant straw man argument. Those who see Old Testament case law as a pattern for God's righteous standard of justice are not confusing the Old Testament sacrificial system with the New Testament work of Christ. Moore's final sentence, quote, if the historic Christian vision of marriage and family is true and good and beautiful, as I believe it is, then we demonstrate the truth, goodness, and beauty to our unbelieving neighbors through our witness, not by threatening to kill them. Well, first, we're not threatening to kill anyone. We're talking about God's given role for the state. Romans 13, to bear the sword, to be an avenger against those who practice evil. Is a Christian losing his witness before murderers? And is he threatening to kill them if a Christian believes in capital punishment for murderers? The prescription that God commanded Noah and his posterity in Genesis chapter 9. Of course not. We're simply communicating what God said. Even as we teach that the unsaved will have their place in hell. Well, the bottom line is that none of Moore's arguments make any sense. Nothing that Ted Cruz tweeted makes any sense unless men have an a priori belief that homosexual behavior is not a serious crime. Well, the reason I've taken the time to go through all this is because I simply want to show that there is no biblical argument against the Ugandan law. The law of God supports this law in Uganda, and any objections are simply a matter of personal perceptions and attitudes. You know, that article by Moore even serves as an example of how the Bible can be mishandled, twisted to people's own destruction. Where people try to find a general principle that supports what they want to say, the general principle of love or equity or human rights, and then prove their point, rather than focusing on what the biblical texts specifically teach. Well, here's the response I believe Christians should first give in response to this law in Uganda. It's a response that we see that Jesus made in the Gospels, such as in Luke chapter 13, where the people came up to Jesus and asked him about some Jews that Pilate killed in the temple. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, all commentators believe that what's going on here is that Pilate arrested some notorious Jewish terrorists. They were probably zealots, likely a part of the Sicarii, who would go around assassinating Romans. Pilate's soldiers caught these men in the temple while they were performing sacrifices. So obviously Pilate wasn't doing this himself, but this was done under Pilate's authority and his law. And of course the Jews at this time were wondering, was it right for Pilate to arrest these men in the temple? Was it right for Pilate to practice capital punishment upon these men? But notice how Jesus responds. Jesus doesn't criticize Pilate, but he turns the table around on these Jews and he asks this question. Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So if you think the state, Pilate, what he does to sinners is horrible. What will you think when you stand before a holy God at the judgment seat? And that is the true Christian evangelistic response to this Ugandan law. This is what the world really needs to hear in regard to this Ugandan law. If you think this Ugandan law is harsh, wait until you see God's punishment in sending homosexuals to hell. Jesus said, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Ugandan law should be the least of people's concerns. 1 Corinthians 6:9, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8, all immoral persons will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So why is Ted Cruz calling the Ugandan penalty for homosexual rape an abomination and Russell Moore calling it a violation of human rights? Because that isn't what God has to say about it. In the New Testament book of Jude, we read about God's punishment on the homosexual cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulge in gross immoralities and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So notice the sins of these cities was in the breaking of God's moral boundaries. Men in their lust going after the flesh of other men. And the verse points out that Sodom wasn't an exemption, but an example of God's justice. And notice that the text says they underwent the punishment of eternal fire. But the fire that came down upon Sodom wasn't an eternal fire. But what the text is saying is that earthly punishment of fire also meant that their eternal destiny was fire. The judgment on earth reflected the eternal judgment of God. And the state, civil magistrates ordained by God, given the power to bear a sword, the sword against evildoers, are to reflect the justice of God upon earth. As we read in Romans 13, the state is to be God's avenger against evildoers within the prescribed limits of the law God has for the state. So now let's get to the legal aspect of this issue. I mean, people want to go right to that aspect, the role of civil government in regard to Old Testament case law. But as I mentioned earlier, the first emphasis needs to be God's law and God's punishment. First, realize that many nations have laws against homosexual behavior. Here's a map in regard to the nations that have laws against homosexuality. Notice that Russia has instituted laws against homosexuality after the fall of the Soviet Union. This is probably due to the influence of the Greek Orthodox Church. Here's an article from CNN. Putin signs expanded anti-LGBTQ laws in Russia in latest crackdown on rights. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday signed into law a bill that expands a ban on so-called LGBTQ propaganda in Russia, making it illegal for anyone to promote same-sex relationships or suggest that non-heterosexual orientations are normal. Now, the previous law in Russia just applied to influencing minors. Now the law is expanded to all homosexual propaganda. Amen. I would agree that this is the role of the state. And there's no middle ground. Either the state supports God's natural law for gender marriage, or the state is giving support and license to immorality. What's changed in the Soviet Union? Well, maybe after 70 years of godless communism, the people realize they need to turn back to God. And if America is ever to be saved, it will also have to bring God's law back into the public square. America will not be saved by a libertarian view of personal human freedom in regard to sexual morality. Have you seen those Russian commercials against LGBTQ and transgenderism in America? They're quite informative. Check out this video. It's in Russian, so you're going to have to read the subtitles.
Как я давно хотел это сделать.
В Америку летите?
Да, переезжаем.
Америка самая свободная страна. Страна возможностей.
А вы с мужем летите?
Да, мы вместе. Он сейчас подойдет.
А вот и мой муж.
Знакомьтесь.
Эмили.
Простите, мистер. Пассажиры позади вас вегетарианцы. Им неприятно, что при них употребляют мясо.
Мы же их не заставляем, это...
Простите, но в США принято придерживаться принципов демократии. Позвольте, я это заберу.
Парень, тут очередь в туалет.
What do you want?
В очередь, говорю, ставь в туалет.
I want to go to the toilet.
Простите, мистер, что случилось?
Да вот парень без очереди лезет тут.
И что? Вы не хотите его пропустить?
Я?
Конечно, конечно. Его надо пропустить. Мы подождем.
Его народ долгие годы терпел притеснение белых. Мы перед всеми афроамериканцами в долгу. Простите нас, сэр.
Прошу вас.
One time America exported righteousness. Now we're exporting corruption, false ideology. We're no longer a light set on a hill. We're a beacon of darkness. Oh, by the way, it's for this reason that many young conservatives are supporting Russia against the Ukraine. Now, on this map, we see many Islamic countries that ban homosexual behavior. They ban pride parades. Because these Islamic countries still base law upon theism, which is a good thing, even though often they get it wrong because they often base their theism on the wrong source, the Quran. But at least they understand that law is not to be a function of human utilitarianism, but law is supposed to be a function of God's righteousness. The European Court has stated, quote, laws against homosexuality serve no legitimate public interest. And we see in this the humanist ideology of the EU court, the law positivism of Oliver Wendell Holmes, that law is merely derived from the will of man, what best helps men. And regrettably, even many conservatives today will try to argue against same-sex marriage on some utilitarian basis, or argue against abortion on merely the damage done to the woman in their psyche, or what's done to them physically. But that is a humanist, man-centered basis for law, which always comes up short of true justice. Now, of course, God's laws are good for man. But man will never understand fully the long-term effects of sin. So man has to have faith in God's external revelation concerning what's right and wrong. And God wants a nation to be righteous, not for man's benefit alone, but out of respect for the authority of the Creator. So the bottom line is this. In that Western nations have abandoned God, laws against homosexual behavior have been overturned. As I've said earlier, the United States used to have the same laws as Uganda. Rape was a capital punishment offense, whether homosexual or heterosexual. And homosexual behavior meant imprisonment and fines. The last law against homosexuality in America was overturned by the Supreme Court in 2003, just 20 years ago, in the case Lawrence versus Texas. And this ruling made same-sex activities legal in every state. And in just 12 years, in 2015, 12 years after Lawrence versus Texas, homosexual marriage was legalized. And that was the logical extension to making homosexuality morally acceptable. And now we have laws defending transgenderism as a civil right, which is also the logical extension. And this is what happens when civil law is based on human utilitarianism and desire, when law is based upon human rights, not God's rights. And soon, there will be the legalization of polygamy and incest and pedophilia, because love is love. And no moral law of God can be referenced. Because as Christian leaders like Russell Moore claim, the moral law of God in the Old Testament doesn't apply to the state. Or you can pick and choose what you want from the Old Testament. So I hope we all see how Russell Moore and others are making a major theological error, opening up the door to lawlessness by teaching a hasty, shallow understanding of the role of the state when it comes to the moral law of God given in the Bible. One more point in conclusion. John Calvin's commentary on civil government. In that, Calvin addresses this issue of the role of the Mosaic law in the nations. And Calvin's conclusions reflect the overall understanding of the church in this regard. Calvin writes, "Each nation has been left at liberty to enact the laws which it judges to be beneficial. Still, these are always to be tested by the rule of charity, so that while they vary in form, they must proceed on the same principle. Those barbarous and savage laws, for instance, which confer honor on thieves, allow for promiscuous intercourses of the sexes, and other things, even fouler and more absurd, I do not think entitled to be considered laws, since they are not only altogether abhorrent to justice, but to humanity and civilized life." So here Calvin states that the specific laws of the state do not need to follow exactly the same prescriptions as the law given to Israel, but they must follow the same principle. And then notice that even Calvin himself would expect the state to have laws against promiscuous intercourses of the sexes based on the principles laid out in the law of Moses. Calvin and all the reformers, although they understood that the exact case law given to Israel isn't to be universally applied, understood that the moral principle is to be applied. And punishment needs to be met out against immoral men. You know, these reformers, they couldn't even imagine a state not having laws against homosexuality. But for Ted Cruz, any law criminalizing homosexuality is, quote, grotesque and an abomination. So this gets very deep. You know, I recommend that if you have some time, read the rest of Calvin on this in the Institutes, Book 4, Chapter 20, Section 14 through 16. The bottom line is that we must come to appreciate that God has a good reason for the law he required of Israel. He wasn't being a vengeful, unrighteous judge. I could imagine a day, let's say if the Lord delays his second coming, a day in which our nation, and really all Western nations, after paying the social cost for the legalization of homosexual practices and transgenderism, comes to the place where good people realize that homosexual tolerance just doesn't work. It opens the floodgate to all sorts of lust of the flesh, and the behavior of homosexuality is not contained to people's personal lives. For the survival of society, this sin needs to be nipped in the bud early, made illegal. And, you know, we just don't learn these things until after we have to reap what we've sown. Then we start to believe God. Now Western nations, because of our Christian influence and our Christian law, we assume that these abominable sins are not so bad. They're not so devastating on a nation. Because we've all been living on the moral capital built up by Christianity for the last 1,000 years. People today say, you know, look, there are these homosexuals, there are these abortionists, the world hasn't come to an end, and we're all just fine. Laws against homosexuality seem to serve no legitimate public interest. But wait for 100 years. When abortion results in a complete disregard for life in a society, and homosexuality destroys children and families, then all of a sudden, people realize that God was right and they were wrong. Sin's like a cancer. Like a cancer that needs to be diagnosed and eradicated early before it takes over the entire body, because then it's too late. So to save many lives, sin needs to be stopped early. But this is the problem with mankind: unbelief. They just don't believe God. So they cannot enter into God's promises because of unbelief. But I trust you believe. I hope that you trust God at His word, that you believe His word at face value and not resorting to your own opinions or rationalisms to justify the lust of the flesh. I hope that you're not swayed by the culture, but you believe God and are then blessed by the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.